Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess 5150 from the All Things Nerd podcast. We're currently getting ready for season 4 that starts on January 3rd over at twitch.tv/malicecorp. So come join us. Until then, we've decided we put out some best ofs so that you had something to listen to. These are just some of our favorite interactions and stories that we had from season 3 of 2019. So enjoy the show wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. Make sure that you're dropping a review and that you're subscribing to the channel. And as always, you guys keep nerding on.
Oh, come on. That's the best you can do.
Skybound. Skybound Games has partnered up with Beamdog to, for the first time, bring some Baldur's Gate games to consoles. But yeah, Skybound Games is getting into the Dungeons & Dragons computer role-playing game with Beamdog. And they are bringing classic role-playing video games, Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear, Icewind Dale, Planescape, Torment, and Neverwinter Nights to console platforms in 2019. Two of these have never been on consoles before, so that was their thing, was they wanted to bring it to consoles for the first time so that people could enjoy these games. What were you going to say, Big Papa Matt?
There's only two games you need to worry about. But the other thing, though, is Skybound Entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing with Skybound is, you know, they have a couple of masterful games out with The Walking Dead and the Telltale series from them. That's what you need to know, and that's what's exciting about this, is you actually have a really good indie developer being attached to this. So that's, if you are into games, you like games, that's where you should be pretty stoked about it. The second thing, though, is all you need to worry about is Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights, and everything else on that list is whatever.
Yeah, they're all enhanced editions, so and they're going to be displaying them at PAX East, so we'll see if they've improved, what the improvements are on them for people that have been on them before. But the comment that was made that these games are iconic, including Baldur's Gate, which has really set the standard for Dungeons & Dragons computer role-playing games. We're excited to bring Beamdog's incredible slate to new platforms for both the dedicated fan and those who will soon discover these adventures for the first time. As longtime fans of Baldur's Gate and Dungeons & Dragons, it's fantastic to partner with Beamdog as the newest member of the Skybound family. I mean, do you like this aspect for that it can expand Skybound gaming even more?
And well, get us for Skybound, I think that's what's really exciting, because they can now have a revenue stream, right? So the reason why companies like Activision are able to just kind of pump out games all the time is because they have a revenue stream in World of Warcraft stuff, right? They're tied in with Blizzard. They get that money running in all day long from subscription services. This will hopefully be a remastered edition. They'll have some decent releases for these games, and then all of a sudden you have a revenue stream for the Skybound Entertainment where they can start producing some really good stuff. You know, they don't really have that huge AAA title, and I'm sure that's kind of what hopefully that's what they're going to go for, and I think that's really exciting. I think that that's something that can be really good for those guys as well. So for me, I think that's great, because they have been known to have quality releases, even though they're not kind of games for everybody. They're more adventure stories. They're more video books than actual games, you know, kind of weird action scenes. But these are full-blown amazing games on the PC that were all bestsellers for their times for the most part. But like I said, mostly, you know, the Baldur's Gate and the Neverwinter Night stuff is what's phenomenal. So,
yeah.
I think 100% Whiskey, Warcraft 3 Remastered. I'm already on it, dude. I've already pre-ordered it. Can't wait.
I think the producer, Jack, said it best at the beginning, that with these D&D games, they were great for their time, but bringing it into the console series and stuff, unless you could actually make it an open, like, not the same ending, not the same path kind of thing, you're not going to get what you want out of it. 100%. It's great. Yeah, and that's where I think it's going to fall short. I mean, you'll get the 5 minute. It's kind of like what's going on with me right now. I get to go play Tecmo Bowl when I'm done here, but when it's all said and done, I'm not going to be playing this 7 days a week for the next 2 months, because these are games I've already played, I've already beat, and it's just reminiscent. I'm going to lose track of this in about a couple days, and my kid's going to be playing it, and there you go. So it's just one of those things where you get about 5 minutes, you get your 5 minutes of fame with it, and then it's just going to kind of fly off to the side unless they can improve on them.
Yeah, and these are going to be pure nostalgia sales. You know, these are going to be purely nostalgia sales. You know, that's what they're going to go after. That's the audience they're after, and that's good for them. But the other thing where Jack is 100% right is there are so many better video games right now that they need to dive back into. The problem is development processes take so long nowadays. I mean, I'm watching ROM hacks of Super Mario World that are taking 6 years to develop, you know, for people. That's just insane. That's full lives of regular video games with a full team making AAA titles. It takes a lot of money, and games that have open-ended endings and multiple paths and multiple character designs and arcs, they are some of the biggest games every year they release, because you have stuff like Skyrim and things like that where there is a linear path. But you can do whatever you want in those. You know, Fallout is mentioned in the chat room as well. It does a really good job with that most of the time as well. But, you know, that's where the MMOs have such a huge following right now with Final Fantasy and World of Warcraft. They can just release patch after patch and expansion after expansion, and you get new endings, new end game, and that's what makes those amazing, amazing games.
Yeah, let me bring up some of what Jack's saying in the chat room. Because it's some great points. I hate the concept of people making tabletop role-playing games into video games. The linear nature of video games destroys the collaborative storytelling aspect that makes D&D what it is. So please do not attach D&D to a video game. Some of those games are good, but leave the D&D off. Till Generation 7 programming languages become real, games will stay linear.
If you can take the idea of going like we just had with Black Mirror, with Bandersnatch, where you could pick what you want to do and you have those different choices take you down a different path. So if you can put that in, and I've seen it, they can do it, because they did it with Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMO. The choices that you made, and you don't see this in World of Warcraft, which is something that I think that they're sorely lacking. The choices that you make in World of Warcraft, no matter what, ultimately you go down the same direction. In Star Wars, however, the choices that you make, good or bad, it affects your character and it changes your character. You can be playing a light side character, but you make dark choices and it's going to start affecting your abilities, because you might be going down the dark side path. So you might not be as powerful as you were. So if you can have something like that come in, I think it could be really fun and really amazing if you open yourself up to, like you said, the multiple endings and having to play the game over and over and over to get all the content. And get all the pathways and see everything.
But I think see, that's the thing though. That's and so here's where I'm going to just combat that very hard, Sarah, because that's what gamers love. They love to beat games and replay them and be able to have different paths. Like that's what makes it so fun. It's not about just being able to complete everything on the first go. It's about
I'm agreeing with you. I think that's fantastic.
You have to have that.
Yeah, you do.
With this, I mean, it looks like there's going to be more games coming along with it too. Not just them re-releasing these, because Beamdog did make the point that Skybound's accomplishments are amazing and they have demonstrated love and respect for creators. And we're thrilled to find ourselves working with such a talented group. So we could get more from Beamdog and Skybound together. Possibly. Is Skybound Games becoming more of just a producer of games, or are they actually making them? Do you know, Big Papa Matt?
No, so they are a team of developers.
Okay. Nice. Skybound's expanding everywhere. It's cool. I love their comics. I love their board game, the card game that they have, the fight game. I can't remember the name of it, but I have cards for it. So, I'm glad they're expanding out
into more. Magic the Gathering.
No, it's not Magic the Gathering. We actually played it here on the cast once, and I can't remember what the name of it is right now. I'll remember later. But if you want to find the game, go on Amazon and look up Skybound Card Game.
Or go to Malice-Corp and watch that episode.
Yeah, exactly. the game playing episode. Are there any console games that you guys would like to not console, but PC games that never made it to console that you'd like to see pop up on console? Just to help other people experience that game?
X-Wing versus and TIE Fighter. And I would love to see those.
Masters of Orion 2.
Mm.
And what was it called? I can't think right now. Civilization, Myths, and Monsters. I would also like to see, PC, to anything World of Warcraft. I just want to see get redone anyways, even though it's coming shortly. So,
StarCraft and Number Munchers.
Nice. I want Doki Doki Literature Club on console.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it.
And Jack agrees with Masonic about TIE Fighter. And,
oh, man.
And 30 for it.
Tim's hurting inside right now.
And I agree 100%. ICs are basically anything from Sierra. I love the old Sierra games, the point-and-click games. And we were getting those, not with Sierra, but we were getting the point-and-click, the old LucasArts point-and-click games onto the Sony PlayStation, so I would love
we were getting Double Fine games that were originally released as Lucas games, but that was because Double Fine was able to purchase their IPs back because no one loved those games except everybody loves those games, and that's why we got stuff like Day of the Tentacle and Monkey Island and all that stuff, because Tim, can't think of his name right now, I'm going to blow it, but anyways, Tim from Double Fine, the creator of that stuff, is an absolute genius, and I'm so happy that he got his IPs back, because he was the creator of those, he's the storytellers of those, and he deserved to get those out. So,
okay, awesome. I agree. I thank you for dropping the knowledge, because I always just knew him as LucasArts, because that was the age when I grew up, wasn't paying attention. They just had the LucasArts logo on them. So, he drops the knowledge. That's why we bring the Big Papa Matt back on the cast. But moving on to our next nerd news topic. This was the one that Marley really wanted to focus in on. And it was saying goodbye to a friend. The Opportunity Mars rover, they lost contact with it back in June of 2018. And they finally have closed all the entire mission with it. It was 15 years that this rover was on Mars, driving around, bringing us pictures, giving us news and information of how the dust clouds worked, how how dirt worked with the formation of the storms that happened on Mars. This is just another step towards potentially having us people living on Mars. But it was kind of heartbreaking because the very last transmission that was received from it, they let it be known. It had a dust storm coming towards it. It couldn't get out of the dust storm to recharge its cells from the sun. And so the last message received from the Mars rover was batteries getting low and it's getting dark. Kind of
why you're trying to bring the show down, bro. Why you
kind of tearful when you think about a robot, but it's yeah. What you said, there was some pretty touching things out there said about it, Marley, like XKCD, one of the comic books.
XKCD. Mm-hmm. XKCD did a cute little comic commemorating it. Just, you know, about how it shared with us these first moments with 7 billion friends. And it's like, yeah. You know, when you sit and you think about it, like, where were we 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was just starting to roam around on the surface of Mars. Like, 14 years ago was a long time. Huge difference for me between where I am now and where I was then. I mean, it's just like, wow, this thing has been on a planet that is not this planet for a little bit less than half of my life. Wow. That's just,
yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. So, I mean, really going into the sciences in high school and college and seeing this thing being talked about here and there, it's been a constant, and now it's gone.
Yeah, and 15, it wasn't planned to last 15 years. That's the amazing thing.
It was only for, it was supposed to be a 90-day mission, 3 months.
Yeah.
3 months. talk about being able to stick with a resolution. Like,
yeah,
if this thing was like saying, oh, I'm gonna spend 3 months going to the gym, it'd been like 15 years ago it went to the gym for the first time.
Yeah.
What the heck? I can't stick with anything for that long.
I love the what Popular Science said on their report about it. It says the Opportunity drove farther than any rover in history, trekked for longer than any other surface mission. It had jeans and jelly bracelets. It outlived Lost. It outlived Brad and Jen and Bradgelina.
Yeah.
It had the social savvy of its cousin Curiosity. But Opportunity has done its duty with quiet dignity for far longer than it would have hoped. Than we could have hoped. It's a really cool story when you go dive deeper into it and see all the stuff that we got from Curiosity. And this really is the rover that's the forefront that could, you know, like they said, have people living on Mars at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it outlived Pogs.
Pogs. Go Turbo.
It didn't outlive the Simpsons. True. But I mean, like, talking about things that lasted a long time, we have Supernatural here. That's that just signed on for its 15th series. There we go. Supernatural started. Guess what? That's around the same time as this thing. Uh-huh. So, I mean, talk about...
Flip phones were still a thing when Supernatural started.
Flip phones were still a thing. Snake on your phone was still a thing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Everybody had a Nokia.
Yeah, everybody exactly. had a Nokia, and you were lucky if color was a thing.
Fade out. And
buying phone cases, and it was like, no, literally the case is part of your phone. It's not just this thing you put around the phone. NASA, with our crappy cell phone technology, NASA was building this thing, and it lasted. This is the Nokia of rovers. See,
this is proof that cell phones don't need to be rebought every 2 years. And
exactly. Just send it to Mars. It'll last 15 years.
I do like, though, that the chat rooms turned it around to do a spin on Gilligan's Island, which is what I first thought of, too, with the 90 days. And Red Meepaw's just tearing it apart. It's like, they go on this three-hour tour, but they're in evening gowns and they're loaded down with like trunks and trunks of things. And who does that when you're going on a three? So, anyways.
Oh, and our friends at Turbo Comics are saying that their Tamagotchi lasted longer than the Mars rover. Yeah, well, you know what? Your Tamagotchi wasn't walking through sandstorms.
How did you remember to feed the Tamagotchi for 15 years?
Why would you remember feeding the Tamagotchi?
We just wanted to do a little, like, give you the news in terms of the Mars rover. If you didn't see it, it's a pretty big story. So,
go say goodbye to a part of the last two decades.
Yeah, and go look it up. Go look it up. There's a lot of neat things that it was able to give us in terms of knowledge and everything. Next big subject of the week, it's been really trending, is that the president of Nintendo of America, not Nintendo itself, Nintendo of America, has decided after 15 years he's going to be retiring, and stepping up in his place is Doug Bowser.
You can't make this stuff up, man. You just can't make it up. I beat Bowser this morning on my kid's Nintendo Switch, man. That's crazy. Now he's running the company.
So Dennis Hopper's in charge, huh?
Does that mean he's gonna be? It's gonna make it easier for him to try to capture Princess Toadstool now and stuff, or what?
Nintendo will now be guarded by fireballs that swing in a circle.
And Koopa Troopas.
Yeah, Reggie Fils. Oh God, I'm gonna mess this. I'm terrible with names. Reggie Fils-Aimé. Reggie Fils-Aimé announces his retirement, and you know, I'm not a big Nintendo guy. I like Nintendo games. I'm not like this diehard Nintendo fan. I like what they've been doing innovation-wise to stay within the industry when you have a lot more adult games coming out and people going to Xbox and PlayStation because of those more story-led games. But what they've done for families with video gaming has been phenomenal, and it's really been during his 15-year reign with Nintendo of America. He came in right around the GameCube, Game Boy Advanced era. And the biggest thing that he was there during is the Wii. And I don't know if you guys remember, but the Wii, when it came out, was
massive.
Yeah. And it was everybody kind of, outside of Nintendo fans, everybody thought Nintendo was kind of dying. Because they didn't have the titles to
Yeah, but they were essentially the first ones with the motion sensitive controller stuff, and that was huge.
Heck yeah, man. Play a Call of Duty with their little controller set up like you're using the gun on a 65-inch TV. That's phenomenal. That's what I did for like a year and a half.
And they came out with the Rumble Pack with the 64.
And you're correcting me, yes, mature content, not adult games. Yes, that's yeah. That. We're not talking about adult games. On
Why Facebook. Not both?
The Wii Sports made me feel like I was decent at sports. And then I went and played the actual sports, and it was like, oh, yeah, no, really, you suck at baseball. Go sit back down the dugout.
As it turns out, you're not smashing a tennis serve at 105 miles an hour in real life.
Exactly. You're more like, oh, crap, there goes the ball.
Can I just use a little rack instead of a normal one, please?
But no, I mean, yeah, the Wii was, you couldn't get them. They were sold out everywhere. It was when PlayStation 2 came out. That was the exact same, you know, I didn't see a drive for video games in that span. It wasn't like, hey, Xbox is out. Everybody's got to get an Xbox, and they're sold out everywhere. When the Wii came out, you couldn't get that sucker. And now Nintendo is as strong as it's ever been. And I think partly due to what he did, what Reggie was doing with the company, especially on the American forefront with it. And now we have the Switch, which has been phenomenal.
Yeah, that's another huge advancement in how people think about where they're going to play video games. Because now you can play it at home on your TV and then take it with you, play it on the road. That was cool. I like that.
So let's take this fear, you know, the cons to this on, you know, once again, he's not president of Nintendo as a company, but anytime E3 was happening, he was the one presenting at E3 for Nintendo. When Nintendo's at one of its highest points right now, is it scary that he's moving on and they're bringing somebody else that's been there for 4 years kind of learning? Is it a Steve, you know, does it have the same fear of when Steve Jobs went away from Apple and everybody's like, oh no, where are we going to be in 3 years from now? Because now we don't have the business mind.
Yeah, Apple's in the toilet right now, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean,
well, now you're
have this, I mean, it comes out with innovations, but it doesn't have that same, like, oh my God, this is the first in this thing since Steve Jobs has been gone.
Let's just say iPhones haven't really changed that much.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're getting taken over by someone who could not keep the princess away from two plumbers. Seriously, Bowser. I'm still tripping out about that. Come on, it's Bowser, for God's sake, man. Out of all the people, like, they didn't see this in the boardroom one day. Hey, who do we want to take over after retirement?
Man, I think they...
Bowser!
Reggie did a little farewell video for the fans. It was like 2.5 minutes long or something like that. And in that, when he's talking about the guy that's replacing him, you know, they show clips of him at press conferences on stage with Reggie doing similar stuff, or one where he's got a you know, like, what was the jacket that Ryan, that dude had in Scorpion, you know, that silky kind of shiny jacket. He's got that, and it says Team Bowser on the back. Like, they're having fun with it for sure. But it seemed to me like the real reason Reggie was so popular was he had that attitude of like, hey, I'm a fan too. And from the little clips that I saw of Bowser, he seems to have that similar energy. So, I mean, I'm not a huge Nintendo fanboy. You know, I think Big Papa Matt would be able to talk about this better. But I think it seems like they're trying to make a pretty smooth transition. And from what I can tell, it looks like it'll work.
Yeah. They are mentioning in the chat room like Bayonetta. And I know there's some other games coming to the Switch and stuff. So it does seem like they're getting... What I've noticed over the last couple of years that they're focusing on getting some more of the mature titles onto Nintendo as well, onto the Switch, so that they can kind of bridge all gaps there. But they're still definitely that mainstay for family. I mean, what have you been doing with the Switch lately? You've been talking about Masonic.
Playing the older Nintendo games on there. They just broke out a competitive Tetris game that you got to download for free, where you're actually battling against 50 other people or something. But yeah, I'm playing Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3. I mean, all the classic stuff we grew up on, you could play it on there.
But how often do you have to push the cartridge up and down to get it to work?
Not at all. Don't have to blow on it or anything, man. It's you know, the best part about this, though, remember how frustrating it was when you would play Zelda or Tecmo Bowl,
and then there's no save.
Well, you had to write a passcode down or something. Yeah, now they actually have the ability where you could save where you're at. So when you jump back on there, like I'm playing Tecmo Bowl.
It's groundbreaking.
I don't have to play like 12 games in a day. I can go 3 games and call it a day, you know?
But that was the fun.
Was playing Tecmo Bowl, y'all just picked
nights because you didn't want to lose your spot.
Pretty much.
I would go to dinner and I would turn off the TV so that my parents thought that the Nintendo was off because I was – in like World 7 of Super Mario 3, and damn it, I was going to beat it this time. And then my stepdad would walk by the door, see the little red light on the Nintendo, and be like, oh, somebody left that on. Boop.
At least that one you had somebody to blame. The worst part was when you left it on, you came back, and it did the freeze screen where it was just blocking.
Oh, yes.
8-bit static. Ooh, 8-bit static would be a really good band name.
Oh, good Lord. They're playing Coachella. Jack says he thinks because because Nintendo and PS uses the concept of false scarcity, that they know the location is going to sell approximately 200, so they're going to send them only 50 in terms of them selling out of stuff. I think
it worked.
And Ruru 2 brings up the Nintendo also Japan also changed its CEO in June of 2018, so maybe they're just doing changes all around, and because Reggie's not officially leaving until May, I think it is.
Yeah.
He's announced his retirement. And people have fun with it. You go on Twitter for Doug Bowser, and there's all types of fun memes.
So many.
There's one of Doug Funny's head on Bowser's body. Announcing Doug Bowser.
It kind of makes you wonder that when they hired him on, it's like, hey, we're going to hire you on, but we want you to legally change your last name to Bowser.
What was the other one I saw that was, and you're going to love this one, IC, because I know you watched the movie not too long ago, but they're I like Dennis Hopper better as him, but I'm sure this guy will do a good job.
Yep. Nope. Terrible.
Speaking of Mario Brothers, if you want to see terrible, I think it's Netflix actually has the original cartoon with Captain Lou Albano playing Mario. Yes, it is.
It's terrible. It's god awful. And what makes
it's
it worse?
Terrible.
I lived for Fridays on that cartoon because Friday was Zelda, and cartoon is terrible.
If you like it for Zelda, don't watch this because every dang time you see, hey, this week of Friday on Zelda, and then you keep going through every episode, it's like, wait a sec, we must have passed Friday because I haven't seen Zelda. I just keep the commercials. It's horrible. But then they have these special guests. Like 2 episodes ago, they had the guy from Breakin', and he was doing a little breakdance and stuff. And then,
Breakin' too.
Yeah, it's throwing me back, and I'm like, good God, that was what we used to watch, man. These kids don't know, man.
The Twitch fandom is like, what are we talking about? Because we're going beyond what the normal age range is on this website. Talking about.
I remember playing Duck Hunt at 3 in the morning.
Play that game. Great game.
Yeah.
So. I hated that stupid smirk.
Stupid
hassle.
Let's move on. Let's do Somebody's Got to Talk About It. These are the weird stuff, the odd stuff, the geeky news that doesn't usually get talked about, but this one really, really got talked about. So a Girl Scout, you've been seeing them everywhere. They're selling the Girl Scout cookies. They're at every freaking entrance to every grocery store. Well, one decided to get really smart. Based out of Colorado, she is being called a cookie CEO because of how many of the Samoas that they sold. They sold out of all their Samoas because they decided her mom
set up outside a dispensary.
That happened a couple years ago. No, her mom is a merchandising or marketing person, so they took pictures of Jason Momoa in Aquaman shirtless and threw him on to the boxes of Samoas and called them Momoas and sold through all of them.
So, sure there won't be. I'm sure they won't give him any grief, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's been good and bad with it, but yeah. What do you guys think? I, you know, is there anything that we can switch this over and have different names that we can use? Actors' names.
isn't that illegal to profit off of someone else's image without?
Yeah,
if they were doing it as an actual trademark,
Everything is going to all the proceeds that were made are going straight to charity and stuff like that. But backlash that happened was like, hey, you didn't. But they originally did it just as a gag for their friends. And people loved him so much that they were just like, we want a box with you know, Jason Momoa on it as Momoa's. Yeah.
And also, if you can Google that image in under 3 seconds, it probably falls under fair use clauses. It's probably not that big a deal.
Which actually surprises me because of the fact that, you know, that I've been connected into the, like, helping out with Girl Scouts and the cookies and stuff like that in the last couple of years and stuff. Girl Scouts are really hardcore about how they do things, and to let them get this kind of marketing and stuff. I mean, as you just mentioned about a couple minutes ago, one girl got smart and sold cookies outside of a dispensary and just sold out, like, and that she is the true CEO of cookies. It's crazy brilliant. To let her do it. Yeah.
But Ruru too, so she was the Fiji water girl. She wants to get paid.
But your question was, what are some other products that we could use celebrities for? Was that it?
I got one.
Yeah.
Thin Man Mints.
Thin Man Mints. Okay.
Put that little spooky face on and stuff.
You're talking about like Slender Man?
Extra long.
Yeah, close Slender enough. Slender Man. Thin Man, though. Shoot.
Called Slender Man, Slender Mints. Slender Mints.
Slender Mints could work, yeah.
Yeah,
that would be at the beginning of the show, you guys were ragging about me for wine, but one of my very first idea I came up with was Natalie's Port, man.
Natalie's Port.
Oh God.
Natalie's Port, man.
I would love to sell it.
Drink and fight.
Most of these I envision as like really small little local businesses. Denzel's Washington, which would be a laundromat.
I heard that, Nick, by the way. I heard that.
You're welcome.
Oh, no, I think I broke past. for the South Park guys, we've got Trey's Parker lot. Nice little parking lot there. And, of course, Matt Stone, just his name. That is a dispensary.
Yep.
Yep. I remember one from SNL that was one of my favorite random sketches ever where they were like, this is just dumb. Throw it in. John Hamm's John Hamm.
We got Ruru too saying Michael Bay Choc Explosions. Choc Explosion.
I would eat that breakfast cereal.
I had
explosion of flavor.
Going on the Momoa thing, I was like, you could go Hunky Charms, and instead of being all the lucky items for the marshmallows, you do like a marshmallow of Jason Momoa, a marshmallow of Chris Hemsworth, a marshmallow. So that was mine.
You got to avoid the. Yeah, we're not going to go like purple. Or shoes or whatever at that point. one last one. This is a household item, but I think she'd be a really good spokesperson. The Taylor Swiffer.
Oh, wow. Yes. I like that.
Yes. Love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I think when I created my Twitter account, it was purely to play the games with At Midnight back in the day.
Root is a Stephen King thinner mints. And a terrible movie. But the next Disney headline that we wanted to talk about is going back to Disney Plus streaming. And the big thing with this, we've heard about all these Marvel projects that they're going to work on, Star Wars projects they're going to work on, but there hasn't really been anything Disney centric for new shows that they were talking about doing there. They have released, in my opinion, best thing for them to do for a new show for Disney. They are doing a Disney Villains show that is based off of the book series by Serena Valentino. She writes all these books about each villain in the Disney universe, and they're supposed to be really, really good books. I haven't gotten to read them myself, but And then it's also reported that Michael Setzman will be the showrunner for this, which is the really interesting part because Michael Setzman does a lot of law shows.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he really does.
He is currently also helping out with the John Grisham universe for Hulu. And he worked on Intelligence and Quantico and Code Black. So a Disney villain show, show run by a procedurals guy. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, those were procedurals, but they weren't lawyer shows. They were like special ops team kind of things.
Yeah. They were fun. They were good shows. Quantico. Yeah,
I genuinely Quantico. Like those shows. So I'm optimistic.
Okay. I mean, is this the right approach for the first Disney centric thing to get for a new show? The villains, I mean, that's what everybody loves for the most part.
I think we can see evidence that it worked. That article mentions, you know, Maleficent, the movie did 700 something million worldwide. So clearly that worked. And just the fact that, there was a whole show Once Upon a Time that ran for like, what, 7-8 years and major villain. The Disney universe were major characters in that show, and they worked great. Villains are almost always more interesting. They've got more complexities, more flaws, more stuff to dig into. It could be fun.
Well, I think that the characters from the films that people like the most, depending on what film, like Little Mermaid, people really like Ursula. Who do a bunch of people look to go get their picture taken with from Beauty and the Beast? It's Gaston. I mean, at Walt Disney World, they want to go meet Gaston, the guy in character, as he's like belittling them and stuff and taking pictures with them. So
same thing with Cruella de Vil and Disneyland.
I want to see him do some of the lesser villains, like Madame Mim from the Sword in the Stone, Madame Medusa from the Rescuers, the Judge Frollo, probably one of the creepiest villains, him and the guy from The Princess and the Frog. A lot of people didn't like The Princess and the Frog, and I get Sammy. Why. But that villain, legitimately creepy. When he sucked into the afterworld by the beings on the other side, that traumatized my niece and nephew, you know? So I would like to see some stories from them, because I love Maleficent, don't get me wrong, but we've kind of, I don't want to say played her out, but man, give me some.
Maleficent is getting a sequel, so I don't think Maleficent is going to be one of the key focuses of
the
episode.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was. I mean, she is still a strong character, and it is going to be focusing within the Disney lore of that. It's not going to be like Once Upon a Time where it's like, oh, they're in the real world, and then, you know, it's focused on their characters. It's live action. I mean, that's the gist of what we know, and I just that's something that I think it'll be like different. I don't know if it'll be episodic where it's like only one story per episode, or if they're going to be like three episodes are going to tell Jafar's story, or, you know,
right.
Speaking of which, one of my favorite parts of that article, and I don't know, are we allowed to swear on Twitch? I'm sure you can bleep this out for the YouTube later.
Just don't say that.
That's kind of exactly what I was going to do, but last sentences in the article, the guy said, you know, recently the live-action Aladdin movie trailer certainly came under fire for scrutiny from Will Smith, but there's no denying that the actor that plays Jafar definitely Fs. Like, he's like, look, we've got some realism here. We've got some interesting backstories we can get into. Yeah, definitely. I want to see the format, though.
I've got a good show for him. I think it should be like a Big Brother kind of theme, but it's more like Beauty and the Beast. So it's like Big Brother at the castle. So you get to watch the clock and the teacups and do their thing. See how they really get into fights rather than that little happy dancing kind of thing. Yeah, you know,
how did Chip really get sick?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I mean, seriously, think about it. Clocks going around, just knocking the crap out of people, and you know,
Chip really got chipped because Lumiere is a little bit abusive.
Beauty and the Beast Fight Club.
There's
Mrs. Potts out there. Just dominating. I want to see the true villains of Lady and the Tramp get their spare time, though. The Siamese cats.
Oh, dude. Wow.
No.
It's just a whole episode of two Siamese cats walking around.
And singing in a really racist way.
Getting into shenanigans.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. So, I mean, that I got excited for this because the biggest time for Disney where people want to go the most and they sell out in minutes when they do the specials for it is Halloween time. And what is Halloween time completely focused on? It's the villains. The villains have their own parade and everything. So,
I thought it was Jack Skeleton.
No. Jack is a part of it, of course, but Jack's there during the day and everything like that. The villains are when you have Mickey's Halloween party, the main focus is the nighttime events and it is villains. It is dark, you know, it's not the Nightmare Before Christmas side of it. So I don't know.
Turbo Comics says Professor Radigan played by Al Pacino.
Radigan was,
yes,
that dude was hardcore. I mean,
yes, he was bad.
Yeah. This is our somebody's got to talk about it. Talk about it. It is the weird stuff, the odd little things that have to do with nerd and geek and pop culture that you find out there that is just fun to talk about. And I came across this under my, I think it was Geek News tab on Gmail. And there's this restaurant in that had just opened a new restaurant at the end of the year in Charleston, and they have one in Charlotte as well called Ruru's Tacos. And the best thing about this, the reason that this is a pop culture talk about it thing, every single item on their menu is named after a quote from a TV show or a movie, which just gives you fun because you go in and you read and you've got Say Hello to My Little Friend as a drink. You have a bunch of different stuff. So,
Mary's Samsonite.
I'm not Joe Bay.
You're my boy, Blue.
It's just fun, yeah. I thought I'd have a little bit of fun with this, with you guys, give you guys a little game on it, read you off a couple of the line items.
Nothing to beast.
Yeah. Read you off a couple.
Sorry, Gaylord Fokker.
I like it.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
If you can name where the quote came from, I'll give you a point. If you can name who the character or the actor was that said the quote, you'll get an extra point. We'll just go from let me look at my screen, going from left to right. So we'll start with Masonic Vader really quickly. I've only got about six of these. So Masonic, Ma the Meatloaf.
Oh man, of course you would pick Ma the Meatloaf. Can't remember. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That
is from Wedding Crashers. It's Will Ferrell as Chaz Reinhold.
Ma the Meatloaf!
I don't know why I was thinking Waterboy.
I unfortunately saw that movie in the movie theaters, but unfortunately, I want to say I probably had a couple too many drinks beforehand as well.
Foosball to double, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, okay. It sounded like an Adam Sandler.
So we got a big zero on there. Next, going over to Super, and if you don't get this, then shame on you. I am McLovin.
Seriously, hold on a sec. You gave the softball right
going by what's written and by how you guys were.
But you know what? I don't think I've seen that movie.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
You don't even have to see the movie and know the quote.
That is super quote, bad. But... That is so super bad.
The movie?
Yeah. That's the movie Super Bad.
I am McLovin.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Why an ID that just says McLovin? Yeah. Just one name? It's fake like ID? Madonna. Christopher Mintz-Plasse? Come on.
Yeah, nice. Christopher Mintz-Plasse said it as Fogel was his character. Mm-hmm. Now to you, Nudie. And of course, you get the kind of hard one, but I'll see if you can get it. Let It Rain. And they say it like multiple times.
Nothing's coming to mind.
Okay, that's Along Came Polly.
Let It Rain.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is Sandy Lyle when they're playing basketball, and he keeps trying to sink the basket. Every time he plays the ball, he's like, let it rain.
I got the next one, dude. Chevy Chase, Martin Short. Are you going to skip that one, or am I going to get it?
I skipped around so that they would be. I wrote a list.
Come on.
I wrote a list. I want to see if you guys can get these.
Hell yeah.
Because here's the thing. By the way that the list is going, if you don't get this one, I know that Super will get the next one. Because if she doesn't, then yeah. So, and I don't know if you'll get this, but stop eating cupcakes.
Damn it. Why don't you do the Lighten Up Francis one, man? I had that one.
I didn't want just the super easy ones.
Come on. I guarantee probably a couple people wouldn't have known that one.
Do you know where cupcakes came from?
Probably not, to be honest with you. No. No, I'm going to say no on that.
That is from This Is 40.
Stop eating cupcakes! Stop eating cupcakes!
Leslie Mann says it.
Never saw it.
Debbie.
Yeah, definitely didn't see that movie.
That's a sequel to Knocked Up.
Oh, okay.
So. Knocked Up. I didn't like Knocked Up, so I didn't want to see the sequel.
Super, the Mary Samsonite one.
Super, you got so lucky that it landed this way, and I know you're going to get 2 points because you'll also be able to tell me who said it. We were on a break.
Oh, God. That's not the one I thought you were going to go with, but that's Ross list. And Rachel in Friends.
The Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
We were on a break. We were on a break. Okay. We were on a break.
But that one, yeah.
She got softball pitches. I see how it is, buddy.
I didn't do it this way. Right.
See that, Nudie? It's against us, bro.
I didn't remember that one.
It's all against us, Nudie.
The odds
are all what we see.
Uh-huh.
Let It Rain was Nudie at the nightclub last night, is what Jackson.
No golden showers.
All right. So we got 2 points for Super. Nudie Rudy, that's not Snowflake. Come on.
Snowflake.
That's not Snowflake.
Drawing a blank.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
It's not Snowflake. It's not Snowflake.
Ah.
Jim Carrey, after he goes into the water tank,
the orca, yeah,
and it's a shark, dragging.
Funny because it's just the random lines that you don't remember.
Yeah,
you know.
All right,
like a glove. I would have remembered that one.
That guy in a little coat. Come on.
All right, Masonic Vader. This is this goes with your age. So we'll see.
Oh, great! Thanks.
I don't know if it's good. I tried not to pick easy ones, but it's all ball bearings.
Fuck. Ah, fudge.
No looking on Google.
I'm not looking at Google. I'm looking at the name. See, I'm not cheating. I'm looking at names. I'm looking at all these other names. I'm like, I know that movie. I know that. It's all in the ball bearings.
It's all ball bearings.
God, put that not Dodgeball, but what's that stupid kung fu one with the guy?
Roger Rice
for walking.
I love how Barry Master is like, these are seriously the easiest lines.
I can't.
Come on,
I
here do it then.
It's what's that?
Fletch, oh, Chevy Chase. Jesus.
Hey, it's all ball bearings nowadays.
Yeah,
okay, I didn't see that.
That is definitely my time, but I haven't seen
that's
that.
That's your time. That's they're in the airplane hangar, and he's talking about like the things to fix on the airplane. He's like, oh yeah, it's just all ball bearings. That's everything to fix. Just ball bearings. That's nothing else. And then
here comes the softball. Here we go. No. Go ahead, throw it at her.
She's already in the lead. So
give her the softball. Go for it.
Okay, so if you can't get this Sarah, then somebody gets to say their name, whether it's Nudie or Masonic, to get it. We'll give you 3 seconds to get it. Fat guy in a little coat.
I can't tell you. I know the quote, but I don't know the movie at all.
Somebody tell me your name if you know.
Oh, that is the big guy, Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what movie?
Chris Farley, and that's the brothers
Tommy Boy, yeah.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
Yeah, so yeah, you say Chris Farley, I can get it. But I've heard the quote repeated.
Fat guy and little coat.
So I should get at least partial point for naming the actor, right?
We have a saying in our group. We have a friend that was at Raging Waters, and there was a guy that went down the inner tube, you know, the ride in front of her, and he actually
got, guy got stuck in the slide.
So my line now is fat guy in a little tube. I actually forgot the quote was fat guy in a little coat. So that's why I kind of forgot the movie.
Tom. I mean, we can't go down the slide. We have to wait for the paramedics to show up. Sorry.
Just send more people down there until
Jack says that we're going to be replacing you guys with the Bearded Master and Psycho Ninja because they knew all the quotes versus you guys.
But it's like when I see the movie once years ago, I'm not going to remember everything. I remember slapping the bass.
Super bad.
No, I've seen it once. I mean,
it's so quotable though. And McLovin, come on.
I'll have to see it again. I knew the bend and snap and the.
Jack says you remember every line in Supernatural, but you can't.
Yeah, but I've seen Supernatural like 10 times.
I know.
10 times, one time.
Oh, okay, let's finish up tonight's cast. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the All Things Nerd podcast, best of season 3, whatever episode this may be. If you guys enjoyed what you heard, you can check out more content on YouTube at the Malice Corp channel or at malice-corp.com. That's malice-corp.com. And we'll be back on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. January 3rd. We hope to see you all there. If you liked what you heard, please, please subscribe, drop a review. We appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we will see you soon.